Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of the Business of African Fashion podcast. This episode was my interview with Tolu of Onigele. This episode has been available on our YouTube for a couple of months now, but I wanted to create the audio file to share with you all on the podcast so that you could actually hear that interview. If you've watched the YouTube video already, awesome. If you haven't, well, here's the audio for you. Onigele shared lessons about his career, how he got started, and how he developed his personal brand. Lots of lessons, lots of gems here. So I really hope you enjoy, and let's get right into the episode. I was curious about your journey and how you started, like, in fashion and everything. Everybody knows you as Onigele, right? And that's what you do. But, like, how did you start? Did you just wake up one morning and then you're like, I'm going to tie Gele? Or have you been doing other things in fashion prior to actually starting to tie Gele?
Well, I was doing some things prior to tying Gele. I was into makeup. So, I mean, to me, it's a journey. I mean, starting Gele artistry was a journey. And of course, there's so many things that will still evolve from this. However, I started from being a makeup artist. Before I was a makeup artist, I was an hairstylist. So the journey started from hairstyling to makeup artistry to a full-on cosmetology. I went to a cosmetology school to know everything around Gele, around makeup and hair, because, I mean, I fell in love with makeup while doing hair after my 1 year internship in the hairdressing salon. I mean, I just fell in love with makeup. I wanted to know about makeup. And when I started learning makeup, I further fell in love with everything beauty, you know, aesthetics, you know, spa, massage. I mean, it was just love. It was a journey for me before Gele came into the picture.
No. I see. That's amazing. And when you said that, I just remembered, because fun fact, I was in Nigeria over the Christmas break and into January, and Onigele Tolu actually taught my friend and I how to tie Gele. So he's told us this story before, but I wanted to share it on podcast so that other people who didn't have that perspective could get to understand you, like, in that way. So when you were doing the hairdressing for, you said you were there for about a year. What was really like the thing that stood out to you about beauty for you to decide, hey, this is the industry I kind of want to stay in?
So back then, it was just the fact that I got so many recommendations. I mean, and as of then, I wasn't good in court because I was under someone. So I was learning. So for me, the whole year was just to learn. I wanted to know everything that will make a lady look beautiful or a woman look beautiful, especially around the hair. So, I mean, so I got lots of recommendation. I got people asking me to help them make their hair. My sisters, my aunt, you know, I had people that would always want me to do this for them. And, you know, when I got admission, because for me, everything was just, he was like a journey. So when I got admission into university, I had to leave the place where I was interning, because it was just a 1 year internship. So I had to leave there and start school proper. But while I was in school, I couldn't leave here. There was no way, because I had started a full business in the back end, you know.
Let's talk about that, because my next question was going to be, how did you start turning all these passions? Because you seem multi-talented. So how did you start knowing that you could make this a business versus something you just do, like, on the weekends or when you're free?
So, in the back end, while I was doing my internship at the salon, I was in the back end because I needed to make money. I needed to do some stuff. See, I mean, before hairstyling, I had to drop something to even focus on hairstyling. I was into music production. I was into full-on making beats, making music. I had a mini studio
Oh, wow.
Out of
Okay.
ministry. Yeah, I mean, so I remember telling so we were two. I mean, they were, my studio was the my house was the studio. Everything was in my house. I had all the equipment. Piano, I mean, keyboard, the computer, I mean, full, everything was in my house. So I had to, we were making money, right? We were making enough money, and there were bills to pay. So I had to tell a junior colleague of mine, I mean, he's a friend. I had to tell him to, you know what, let me go and hustle for money, right? I think you should take this. So I had to pass all the equipment, the music, because he was young. He was not even out of secondary school then. He was very young and passionate about it. And I'm out of school. I'm waiting for admission. And I mean, there's no money. So I had to just drop this. You take this. You seem more passionate about this. Focus, whatever it is. Don't worry, money, I'll support you. Let me go and look for the money outside. So that was how I started. Air styling. That was where I learned the air styling. You know, that was why I went into air styling. You know, so I mean, I started air styling, and while I was learning, my family members, my aunts, my sisters, you know, they gave me their heads to practice on my friends. I mean, I would call them to, you know, help them fix their hair. And so on the low, I also started mobile salon services. You know, I would put posters, flyers on Facebook, on Deal Day. I mean, there used to be a platform called Deal Day. It's more like Amazon for service providers. You know,
Interesting.
yeah. So I mean, that was where I got most of my clients from, and because I mean, I needed to make money. I needed to make money fast. So that was where I was getting my clients from, and I had people coming from there. And so when I started school, it was easy to also work, do home services, and you know, attend lectures. And sometimes I would even skip lectures and go and look for money. But then I was able to balance both, right? It was while I was in school too that I found the love for makeup artistry. You know, and then I went to learn. I went to learn makeup that year, the first year in school. And yeah, like they say, the rest is history.
Wow, that's amazing. And honestly, like, I can hear the passion and the hustle from your voice. It's just this desire to want to do something for yourself. You're not one of those people that's saying like, oh, I'm just gonna wait for something to work out for me. You're like, I'm gonna go out there, see what I can learn to, improve things for myself. And like you said, to, learn those new skills. So whatever, I'm curious, whatever happened to the guy with the music? Is he some big producer now in Nigeria or what?
Oh yeah, he's a big man right now. He's a big boy. I mean,
That's good.
that's something about destiny. I mean, talking about it, whenever we go back to it, I mean, he always thanked me, and I mean, I didn't even know I was doing something. You know, I was planting a seed. I didn't know in 5 years and 7 years we will all, I mean, not even me alone, people will benefit from the seed that I had sown so many years ago. Yeah, he's a big time producer now. It's called I Am Beat, Wicked. So there are some songs where, yeah, Wicked, yeah, he's
Okay,
produced
and
for Burna Boy, Fire Boy, big boys.
nice. And he has you to thank for that. So that's amazing to hear that, you've been doing work like this. So tell me about like in your journey of kind of discovering what your passions were and turning them into businesses, what were some of the challenges that you faced in that journey? I'm sure there's a lot, but if there's anyone that really sticks out to you that you can share with the audience, we would love to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. The most prevalent ones will be one, funding. Of course, yeah, as an entrepreneur, where I mean, there's so many of you, especially when in the beauty industry in Africa, there's so many people that can do what you can do. So the fact that you're charging X, and then there are other people that are charging way lesser or higher than you. You know, that was an issue for me when I started. It was mean, I didn't even know how to price. I didn't know how best to break into the market. I had to sell myself cheap. At the point, I mean, especially while I was in school, I needed customers. I needed them. So I had to, you know, look for a way to get the customer. So it was a big issue. And then thing about selling yourself cheap is it's the way you start, that's most likely the way you will continue, or the way your customers would want you to continue, because they won't want to change, especially when they are paying you less. They wouldn't want to change. Mm-hmm. If you want to increase your price, you might not want to, because you might be scared they will have to leave you, you know, this or that. So yeah, at the beginning it was like that. It was hard. And then also for some people it was hard convincing them that, yeah, I can do it. Now I'm talking in terms of as a makeup artist, as a gilly artist, as an hairstylist, then, you know, it was hard convincing people that you can do it, that I can do it. With Gilly, it was easy because there was references. There was, you know, we can always, yeah, there's always pictures. There's most times it's via recommendations. There are always people, people giving people my number or my pictures of what I've done. So there were recommendations. There were things to fall back on. You know, there were referrals. There were so many references. So it was easy with Gilly, but with my other businesses, you know, I had to convince them, you know, before they could just take the first leap. But most times after the first trial, you know, it will be you will start making my hair. Oh, I need you to come back in 2 weeks' time. I have a wedding, you know. So it was just the first thing. So yeah, convincing people, then pricing. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, those were like, and I agree. Yeah, and on this podcast, we've stressed about the importance of knowing how to price yourself. And, you know, there was on the last season, there was one of the listeners who had asked, like, how do I know how much to price my outfits, right? And I had to go into detail of saying, hey, you have to add up how much the costs to produce the goods are, and then add in how much profit you want to make to be able to, you know, keep your business afloat. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. And so the next question that I have for you is, like, how do you plan financially for your business now that you're more established? What is your process like? Do you have a budget for your business? Do you do like separate bank accounts for your business? How does that logistically work financially for you?
Well, so for me, we have projects that we do. We have projects, at least three projects that we do yearly. Most of them are eating. So most times the first quarter, profits from the first quarter are used to focus on projects that we have in the second, third quarter. Of course, not everything, some a percentage of the funds. So, I mean, just to share the projects that we do. So one, we have projects for helping people with disabilities. That's one. Then we also have Gilly Expo. Gilly Expo is more like a platform for Gilly lovers, Gilly artists, Gilly influencers, people that love the art of Gilly tying, to come together and celebrate, watch the runway show, the different types of Gilly that is on the runway that you can see, or that basically Gilly inspirations, you know. So yeah, that's Gilly Expo. So when it comes to budgeting, I mean, I'm even looking for funding for these different projects. But, you know, for Onigiri itself, we have certain budgets, certain percentage that we set aside for the different projects that we have. Of course, I mean, I don't think I can mention the details, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can. Those are private. I understand. much as you're comfortable sharing.
Yeah. So I don't know if that answers the question.
Yeah, that answers the question. And what I'm really glad to hear is that you have a plan, because I think a lot of people think running businesses is just vibes and aesthetics. They don't realize that you actually have to put pen to paper. You have to have some spreadsheets. You have to calculate your numbers in order for you to be successful. Like, nothing you do as Onigiri is accidental. Everything is strategic. It's planned. There's a reason why you're doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah, trust me. I mean, we just spent some funds on renovation. Yeah, when you came around, you saw it. just spent some funds on renovation. And yeah, I mean, I had been dreading the renovation for a long time. I didn't want to do it, but I know we needed to do it because we were, I mean, it was just important that we had it done. And we had to save up, yeah, for that to be done, even though it didn't look like we did so much, but we had to save up to get that done. And of course, there are some other projects, I mean, that we need to do that we will be doing around the studio as well, which we are also creating a budget for. So every spend, everything, every expense, there is, I mean, there should be a budget for, I mean, for every entrepreneur. If you need to do something, save up for it, save up towards it. Don't just remove every income as it is coming and taking it out to solve this and that. It's
Yeah,
important.
absolutely. Absolutely. And for context, Tolu's talking about his studio. I got the opportunity to go when I was learning Gele from him. It's a beautiful space and they just renovated. So that's what he's talking about, the project he was working on. But yes, I agree. I think it's important to be strategic. I know, like, as entrepreneurs, sometimes we're so passionate that we just assume that the financial part is magically going to get sorted out. And I know a lot of people have anxiety when it comes to that kind of thing because it can be intimidating, right? But my day job is in finance. I work in accounting. So this stuff excites me, and I'm always excited to talk to entrepreneurs and make sure that they see that it's not this scary thing. Like, if you break it down, it can really be easy, and it can really help you for the longevity of your business, right? What is like a personal habit or a trait or something that you do that you think sets you apart as an entrepreneur that has helped you significantly as you build this business?
Well, I don't think it's anything. There's, I mean, it's nothing big. It's just the norm for many of us that I think most of us like to observe. Well, for me, I like to observe things, and I always like to learn. I mean, I like learning. I love reading. I mean, I'm a big fan of reading. I have a library of books,
Awesome. I'm
and
a reader too,
most,
so it's nice to see a kindred spirit.
right. So, I mean, I think that's the difference because you can't, especially for me, for my type of business, it's a conventional business. It's a local business. Yes, it's a local
For
business,
now.
and for now, well, it still will be. I mean, yeah, we could have varieties, and we could have it in other countries, but it still comes back to being traditional or local. Yeah, but you get me.
I
So
know what you mean,
the
yeah.
only way to stand out is to, learn, borrow brilliance from different aspects or different industries. And yeah, so it's for me, it's more about learning, reading, observing, watching people. Majorly, I'm a learner. I think that's just it.
That's good.
I don't
Curiosity is
believe.
always good.
Yeah, I'm very curious. Yeah, thank you. That's the word. I don't believe I know it all. I don't believe I have all the answers. I always like to ask the right people for answers, follow the road.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good trait to have, especially for, an entrepreneur, someone that's constantly learning and growing. And our industry is always changing. So there's always something to learn and, just keep your it keeps it things exciting too. It never gets old, it never gets boring. So
Exactly.
the next question I have for you is for the challenges that you mentioned or challenges that you face day to day, because I imagine there's a lot, especially doing business in Nigeria. How do you overcome challenges? Like, how do you, when you see a challenge or you're in a difficult situation, what is your process for navigating that?
Seek help. So for me, I consult the my mentors, right? For every part of my business, I have mentors, at least one or two mentors. I mean, because right now I have about four different businesses that are like on the line that I'm
Okay,
doing.
serial entrepreneur.
Right. But of course, Onigiri is the main business that's basically funding the other businesses. So when I have issues with structure, with staffing, with colleagues or planners, even, I mean, when I have major challenges, I often seek help because after I have applied my own help and it's not forthcoming or I'm not getting anywhere, the best way is to seek help from those who know it. And then after that, before I take action, I have to seek God. And because to me, is the giver of wisdom, right? So at the end of the day, before I make a decision, I still have to seek God and, just hear his mind, is just hear what he has to say about that decision or that challenge or that issue, and find a way to navigate around it.
Yeah, amazing. That's awesome. I love, love, love that you have mentors because I do too. I think it's so valuable to have like a wealth of resources that you can ask. I know in the Bible also says like there's safety in the multitude of counsel, right? You can always ask people for help. And it takes humility to be able to say like, hey, I'm stuck. Can you help me out? And also for the listeners, it's important to have wise counsel, not just any counsel, right? You have to make sure the people that you're taking advice from, listening to, and even sharing your challenges in business, because that can be sensitive information. You have to make sure that they're people who are wise and that the counsel that they will give you is sound and wise counsel. So I really love that you shared that. So this one is a bit personal. It's because I'm really passionate about mental health. I think it's important for us as human beings. How do you maintain your mental health as an entrepreneur in this space? Do you ever deal with like comparison? Do you ever deal with insecurity? Do you ever deal with any of those negative emotions, and how do you overcome them?
Well, mental health for me is major, is key. And the only way to secure my mental health is to stay sane, stay at peace with myself, because comparison will help. I mean, I used to compare. I used to be insecure with business, with posting, IG, having to make sure, I mean, because there are times when you see everybody's posting, then you need to also post to be, up there. But once upon a time, I used to be running with everybody. I used to run the rat race. Yeah, I used to want to do everything that everybody's doing, But yeah, I had to stop. For sanity, I had to stop. And it was, of course, it was through my vast reading and vast questioning things and looking for answers that I got to know that if you keep looking at other people's progress before you take action, you will most likely be, they are leading you, they are influencing your
Oh,
decisions. They will,
say that again.
I don't remember what I said. They're basically your they're more like the mirror that you're using to position yourself or to, frame your mind on your thoughts, which shouldn't be, because we're all different. You're unique. We're all unique in our different ways. And for me, the my mantra has always been that I am the leader, so I am the competition. I'm not the competitor. I mean, they are competitors around, but I am the competition. So whatever I do is will be a statement that people will look out for or look up to recreate and be better. However, that doesn't stop me from being humble enough to learn when I see something new. But I have it deep in my mind that I am not running, I'm not chasing, I am not looking for validation. Yeah, I'm not seeking public validation or from anyone. I don't need anybody to like or to love or to come. So, I mean, deep inside of me, I have my rest and I have peace with myself and everything that I do. So when I get jobs, I'm fine. When I don't get jobs, I'm fine. When the season is high, I'm fine. I'm happy. When the season is low, I am happy. So it's important that we all look for what to fill our minds with, especially in seasons when things are not going fast.
Yeah.
Focus on what is important part time, especially yourself. You know, you're
Yeah.
unique, you're creative. Most times we don't say it. Most times we feel nothing is happening. We feel we're not even good enough. Most of the times it's okay, it's normal, but I think you need to go back to what you have done. Sometimes moving to a new place, you need to go back to where you're coming from and see that, oh, okay, I've actually made some massive step. I've actually changed a lot from where I was to where I am right now. And you know, that's
Yeah.
progress. So it means if I was able to do that some years ago, I mean, I can do that again tomorrow. I can do that again in 2 months, in 3 months. You know, I just need to work on myself. I need to be dedicated and shut out the negative voices, the naysayers, you know. Yeah, that's for me, that's how I maintain my sanity. Because in this
I love
world,
that.
in the Instagram world that we live in right now, there's so many distractions.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so I used to be that person who was really against social media in the beginning, but the more I learned about the kind of strategic tool that it can be, especially for business, the more I decided that it's here to stay and we can't avoid it. We just have to know how to use it effectively, like you said. So I really appreciate you sharing that perspective for the listeners. I guess my next question for you is, what resources have helped you in your business that you can recommend to the listeners? Like you mentioned books. What are some of your books that have changed your perspective about business or about life that you would recommend to the people?
So, I mean, there's this particular book that I mean, I've always, whenever I feel down or whenever I have a roadblock or a mental, no, creative block, not mental block, a creative block, I often try to read it. And there are two of them. One is Borrowing Brilliance. Borrowing Brilliance. I
Borrowing
can't remember the
brilliance.
author. Borrowing
Okay.
Brilliance. The second one is Habits, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That's like my most, I think I've read that book like 10 times.
Wow.
Don't finish it. The funny thing is, don't ever finish it. I just need to start it to kickstart what I need to do in my life part
I
time.
love that. I
Right.
love that.
So, yeah, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Borrowing Brilliance. When it comes to saving, billionaire in training. That's
Ooh.
savings and creating wealth. Billionaire in training. Yeah, books. Those
Awesome.
are
Thank you for
like,
the recommendations. For our listeners, these books and these titles will be all in the transcription of the episode, and it'll also be in the show notes so that you can have access to those. I'm going to add these to my library now because I
right.
love hearing about books that other people have read, because I genuinely believe that the secret of life is inside a book. Like everything that other people have learned throughout their lives, throughout history, everything is inside one book or the other. So if you're really curious, if you're really trying to figure out what do I do with my life, I encourage you pick up a book and read it. You don't have to finish it cover to cover. Just take what you need and leave the rest. So I appreciate you for
Just
those
run.
recommendations.
You're welcome.
So my last question for you before we go into the lightning round is, what do you wish you had known before you started your business? So, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. Is there something that you know now that you wish you knew maybe 5 years ago that would have helped you that you would like our listeners to hear?
Yeah, of course, a lot. A lot. I mean, for my formative years, I say formative like I'm old. But yeah, I mean, when I started Onigele, I wish I had mentors. I wish I had people in my industry that I could, you know, call to ask or seek for help. I literally started getting help and mentors, or rather, yeah, I literally started getting help and mentors, I think 3 years after business. And of course, I've failed. I've done trial and error. There's been so many trial and error. So What I would recommend or tell anyone who's just entering business or in business, or it's never too late. Get mentors, get counselors, get coach. I mean, a mentor is different from a coach. Depending on how far you want to go, you need a coach, to guide you on every step. So a coach will basically be more close to you than a mentor will. A mentor is more like you are, going for guidance. Can be once in a month, could even be once in 6 months, depending on what you're trying to work on. But a coach would always be there to guide you, and you might need to look for someone in your industry. You might not have to. In Africa, in Nigeria, most people in your industry or that have more knowledge than you, they always most of them try to hide things, which it's unfortunate. I don't see why, but I understand where they're coming from. But it's important to seek for help. Seek for help,
Yeah.
mentors or coach.
Absolutely. And I will say, for those who are maybe just starting out, because I know that if so what somebody were to approach Onigele now and say, I want you to be my mentor, I'm sure he would want to see that you've already like started something, that you already have passion. So when you look for a mentor, I want you to be very intentional. Don't just show up wanting to take from them. I want you to show up as somebody that already has something doing, somebody that's already like putting the work in. That way, that person is even motivated to want to mentor you, right? Because what happens a lot of times is that people just like, they haven't done the work, they don't have the idea completely fleshed out yet, and they're like, hey, can you mentor me? And it's challenging for the mentor because, you're wanting them to hold your hand every step of the way. So I want you to be really intentional to know that your mentor is for when you've hit a roadblock, or when you're looking for, that more advanced counsel. The mentor isn't necessarily to like hold your hand or help you do everything. So I just want people to understand that.
Yeah,
And also,
and talking about preaching, sorry, just the last one, just talking
no,
about
go ahead.
preaching, because I know many people would actually have issues approaching someone to mentor them, and probably the person that you even want to seek to mentor you has line up of people asking him or her to also mentor them, but that's where the difference comes in. I mean, for me, I can't mentor everybody. Of course, some people would see me as role models from afar, and they would chase, just to want to be like me or do what I do, and that's fine. Mentorship is more personal, and for me to let you into my space, I need to see character, I need to see discipline, I need to see commitments. Aside me, this is the same thing. Every other person, or these are the same thing every other person would want to see. Because if you want me to give you my time, I need to see that you're worth it. And if you're worth it, what if I am giving you A, would you reproduce it, or would you just let it sleep? So it's important for many of us to invest where it will yield results. And that's why some
Absolutely.
people will see your message and just ignore it, because there's no track record, or you probably have not
Absolutely.
started anything, and you might be angry, but I mean, they also have responsibility, right? So do your part, and trust me, when the shovel comes to shove, everything will fall in place. You won't even have issues. But just do your own.
Absolutely.
Even if they don't attend or listen or even accept to be your mentor, continue doing your own part. When the time comes, they will come themselves.
Yes, you couldn't have said it better, Tolu, honestly. And I want to encourage the listeners, for those of you who are just starting out, you don't have a track record yet, don't be discouraged. We have a community, actually, of the people who listen to this podcast. I'm a member of the community myself. And basically, what that community is a place where we do hold your hand. We want you to come in there when you haven't fleshed out your idea completely. We want you to come in there when you're still confused. We want you to come in there when you're still trying to figure out what you want to do exactly in fashion, because that community is a place for you to see like-minded people, for you to grow and for you to learn and for you to build your track record, so that you can get to that point. So if you want to be a member of that community, go to businessofafricanfashion.com and you'll be able to join. It's completely free and we would love to have you in there. So Tolu, if you don't mind, we can jump into the lightning round really quickly. And I'll explain what the lightning round is. So essentially, the lightning round is just going to be rapid fire. The questions I'm asking you, I need you to answer them in 10 seconds or less. So just like whatever comes first to your mind, just give it to us straight with no chaser. All right?
Okay.
Okay. So first question is, what is the best purchase that you've made so far in 2024? The year just started, but what's the best thing you've bought this year?
How many seconds do I have?
10.
Pass. I can't remember.
Okay. Do you need more time?
Do I need more time? It's just 20 days.
You haven't bought anything this year. You're just like saving your money.
I've only paid for things. Renovation.
That's the real responsibility right there. So you haven't bought yourself anything fun this year?
I haven't got anything for myself.
Okay, fair enough. It's just January. Maybe I'll check back in like July and you can tell me what it is.
Right.
Okay, next question is, what is the best business book that you have ever read? I know you gave us three earlier, but which one is your best?
Best business book? I mean, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People isn't about business. I mean, it encompasses everything. Oh, sorry, 10 seconds. Okay, so I mean, overall, it's still 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Overall.
Awesome.
Overall.
Gotcha. Perfect. All right, next question. If there was something you could tell somebody that's starting out in African fashion, in the beauty and fashion space, just one thing, one advice, what would it be?
Go all out. Go all out. So when I say go all out, don't do it scared. Of course, it's okay to be afraid. So it's okay to not be sure if it's going to work or not. But go all out.
Okay.
Go all out.
Perfect. Okay. And the next question is, this one is a little bit deep, but I think you're capable. What is your dream for Nigeria and the African continent in general?
My dream is wild, is big. I mean, I see us doing what China is doing now in many years. Time, of course, we have all the resources. I see fashion hub in Nigeria, in Africa. I mean, I'm sorry, I have to take Nigeria first.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough.
I think the fashion industry in Nigeria, I mean, being one of the most sought after in the world and in Africa in general, I see us doing big things, from the outfits that we make to the fabrics to the most basic things like gele tying. You know, I see us creating magic. And I mean, I see, because we need investment and we need investors, so I see a massive inflow of investors into the African market.
Amazing. You should run for president too. You should run for president of Nigeria. People would love that. So that's the end of the lightning round. Where can people connect with you, connect with your businesses after this episode? Where do you want them to find you? Is there any projects that you want to plug for the business? This is your opportunity.
Awesome. So guys, you can check me out on Instagram. You can check Onigele on Instagram. ONI_Gele. We're also on YouTube. I mean, we have content on YouTube for your perils. You can learn on the go. That's YouTube Onigele TV. We have free contents there. And we also have online classes for those who want to learn how to tie gele online at onigelecraft.com, www.onigelecraft.com. So if you want to chat with someone, if you want to chat with Onigele on WhatsApp, right, our digits are also there. 3463 8 1 7 3 4 6 7 3 4 6 5 3 4 6 5 3 1 7 3 4 6 5 Yeah, I mean, Onigele anywhere. So yeah, that's just about it. YouTube Onigele TV, Instagram Onigele ONI_Gele, Facebook as well ONI_Gele. That's about it.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, This has been amazing, Tolu. Thank you so much for coming on
Thank
to the show.
You.
It was an honor to have you, and I know that everybody will enjoy the episode.
Thank you for having me.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that episode with Onigele, and I will see you all on the next episode. Again, if you're not yet a member of the community, make sure you join. The link will be in the show notes, and I will see you on the other side. Bye.